Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is J. Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to take your questions on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. But before we start taking calls, we have a special guest. J. Marie, do you want to tell us about your guest?
Yes, we have Diane Conroy Lacevita, who is from Colony Senior Services Center, which does a lot of good work in the community. And I'll let you introduce yourself, Diane, and explain what you do.
Sure. Good morning, and thank you for having me. So Colony Senior Service Centers was established in 1981, and we provide programming and activities for seniors to age in place and age with dignity in the community. We do all sorts of...
Do you want to use my microphone? I think you're getting
feedback. I'm getting huge feedback. Sorry about that. So our service area is approximately three counties. We work in Albany, Rensselaer, and Schenectady counties. We do everything from affordable housing to transportational services, adult day. We have a home maintenance program. We offer countless volunteer activities. So we're there to support seniors so that they can stay in the community.
That's right, and we've been there in, you know, your adult day program, and you have meals for seniors there, right? So it's a good place for seniors to go during the daytime.
Correct. So we have a congregate food program. We're in five locations. So we do a lot with, besides the municipality of the town of Colony, we're out in Guilderland, again, Rensselaer County, Schenectady County. So we're there really truly as a nonprofit to support older adults.
And one program I find interesting that Kim, our geriatric care manager, talks about is the umbrella program, which is something that I think is really useful for seniors who want to stay in their home.
Right, yes. And I do want to throw in there, I want to thank Herzog Law Firm, because as a nonprofit, we're always looking for corporate partners, and you guys have been terrific. I just want to put that out there.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Well, I want to make sure you realize how much we appreciate your support. So the umbrella program is a home maintenance program. So often, especially in suburbia, seniors want to age in place, and that means staying in their home. And as they age, maybe they'll lose their spouse. They'll lose the opportunity to use the car keys. And there they sit, isolated. And oftentimes, you know, their finances may diminish to the extent that they're choosing between having the roof or the furnace replaced or keeping the heat on or paying for those medications they might need. The umbrella program is to go in. We have 50 handy people, both men and women, and they're all vetted. So this is someone you can trust to open your door to. And it's a membership program, but it's on a sliding scale. So if somebody is truly in need, we will make sure that we provide that service, not necessarily even at a cost. And so you go in, and we can do everything from raking leaves, shoveling snow, basic electric plumbing, carpentry. We'll paint a room. We'll put in grab bars. On the weekends, if they have to go to somewhere, we'll drive them there. We'll assist them getting groceries and so forth. It's a fabulous program.
Yeah, no, that's a great program, and we've heard Kim mention that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a great program.
That's right. So if anyone has any questions, and we're going to keep talking to Diane, but you could call in at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590 if you have questions about what Colony Senior Services does or what we do at the Herzog Law Firm. We'll
That's
be happy
it, yes.
to answer your questions. And I just want to ask you about an event that's coming up that I know we are looking forward to going to this Thursday. It's called The Warmth of Winter.
Yeah, The Warmth of Winter is happening at Winter Spruce on Thursday the 27th from 5:30 to 8:30. And the proceeds of that event go back out the community. We're actually we'll pay for seniors, needy seniors, who are struggling with paying their heating bills. And so oftentimes we're giving scholarships. We work with National Grid or Suburban Propane, and often we'll work with them and pay someone's heating bill. So they're not turning the heat down. You know, we say, oh gosh, it's so cold outside. Could you imagine kind of contemplating whether you can keep it at 68 or 58 or 74? And so we don't want seniors in that predicament. So this is really it's a wash for us as an organization, but it means so much to really, truly what we're about.
Right, I know heating oil can be, or any heating costs are one of the most expensive costs you can probably face in terms of your housing expenses other than your mortgage, right?
Right.
And it's not a choice, right?
Yeah, and that's not a
choice. You got to have the heat on.
Right. If I can digress very quickly, I have a story. Mm-hmm. Even in our area, there's such pockets of poverty. I was asked to go to someone's house. Their stove was arcing. And was part of the umbrella program. So we went, and yes, the stove was arcing, but the stove was arcing because she was using it to heat her trailer.
Oh.
And she was out of propane. And so it was just, and it's in the middle of the winter, and she's in an older trailer with limited insulation. It was a horrible situation for anybody to find themselves. And the most heart-wrenching part of that visit was when her granddaughter came out, but her great-granddaughter. She actually has her great-granddaughter living with her for the family dynamic. So you have this small, smiling toddler coming out of one of the bathrooms or bedrooms, looking at me, not realizing just what horrible living conditions, not any blame necessarily to the grandmother, the great-grandmother, but that she couldn't afford to. They have to fill that tank, and that tank's about $1,000. They don't come and just do a partial fill. And so there she sat with an arcing stove trying to heat this trailer. And so it's very humbling when you truly see what situations people find.
Yeah, it is. And the opportunity that we can have to help that is, it's just really great.
Right. And it's a fun event. So.
That's right, it is. and then we always talk about the food here. The food is very good there.
So. It's all about food.
It is. Yeah.
That's right.
And we have probably 10 tasting stations of wine and local beer and great food. So.
There you go. We're looking forward to it. Now, if you have any questions for us, the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free, 1-800-WROW-590. Again, 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. So what area of your organization do you see the most utilized?
Where the greatest need is,
yeah.
I'll put it that way. So above and beyond affordable housing, we don't have enough in this area. And so we have three structures, almost 400 apartments. We have one that's a low income. You have to be at least 62 years of age. We have two that are affordable. And so we do collect everyone's taxes, and we make sure that we work within really truly the demographic we're trying to work in. Our second, I think the greatest need in the community is transportation. People, people want to stay in the apartment, stay in the house, but if they can't get out to get groceries or to the doctors and so forth. So we have a fleet of 12 vehicles, and we're doing about 25,000 rides a year. And so we do it on a donation basis. It's $5 suggested donation. Put a little box in front of the shuttle bus that people can put whatever in there. And we'll drive them Monday through Friday. We are traveling now in 5 counties. And so especially if somebody's got a particular doctor they have to get to, maybe the office is no longer at Albany Med or St. Pete's, and they're up in Saratoga County or out in Schenectady County. I mean, we're driving people to dialysis, to chemotherapy. You'd be surprised at the need, the transportational need, the affordable transportational need.
Well, it makes sense because you can't drive anymore.
Right.
You have a medical situation, and a lot of people don't have family around to drive them.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. You have family dynamics, and you're absolutely right. People don't want to drive at night. People are concerned about the highways and all the roundabouts we now have, and it's scary for someone.
I'm concerned about the roundabouts, too.
I don't do roundabouts well, no. That's definitely not on my hit parade, definitely not.
Are you one of those cautious people, or are you one of those that just guns it and hopes to?
Oh, I'm cautious. I sit there for hours, trying to make sure.
I keep going in a circle because I can't get out.
I just sit there and wait. Is it clear? Is it clear? And people are with me. You don't have to stop. It's a yield sign. And I'm like, no, but people will hit me. I did get hit in a roundabout.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh. So you have a legitimate
fear. Yes, I have a legitimate fear of roundabouts. Yes.
Okay.
Right off exit 12. Yes, I did get hit.
That's a whole series of roundabouts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So again, you guys can give us a call. If we'd love to answer your questions at 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. And if they wanted to contact you or wanted to volunteer, how would they contact you?
So to contact Colony Senior Service Centers, it's 518-459-2857. Our website is www.coloniesseniors.org. And in regards to volunteering, I just want to give a plug. We have a program called RSVP, Retired Senior Volunteer Program. It's a federal initiative. We've had it for 6 years. There are 3-year cycles. And we work with 82 other nonprofits in the Albany, Schenectady, Rensselaer County areas, and we secure volunteers, senior volunteers, and that's 55 plus. So people who are just retiring or maybe just want to fill their day with something that's productive. And so we do everything from the ambassadors, you know, the maroon coats when you get off a flight at Albany County Airport.
Oh, yeah.
Those are RSVP volunteers. The military room at the airport, the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, the Humane Society, almost every educational institution, every hospital or, health institution, almost every museum. I mean, you'd be shocked. And so we're like the clearinghouse. You can come and say what you want to do, and then we can go back to the organization and say, what do you have? And so that's been incredibly productive.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's really great, because when you retire, you're not just ready to like sit back and do nothing sometimes. So this is a great way to get out and be in the community and do things that interest you.
Right. Yeah, and you don't have to stay with the same organization. You could say, well, I'd like to do that this time, and I'll do that this time. And some people just like to do the fun events, like, wow. So they'll say, all those fun events, and I volunteer for that. And so then we do have people do things.
Once we're older, Jamie, we can volunteer for that.
Yes, that's right.
We're way too young for that, right?
Oh, it's years away.
Years away.
That's right. 55.
Yes. Well, we don't talk about age.
No.
So that's one of those things. You know?
Yeah, we're 30 again and again.
We're ageless. And,
yes. That's right, Ben?
Yeah, of course.
Well, Ben's only 25, so.
Oh, no, I don't have a problem saying I'm 57. It doesn't bother me at all.
Oh, okay. Well, men have a different idea on that, right?
That's sometimes.
At least the numbers aren't reversed. He's not 75, right?
That's true. I may look 75, but I'm only 57.
And there's another event that you wanted to talk about, too.
If you don't mind, it's International Women's Day. So on March 8th, it's a Sunday from 12 to 3, we actually are partnering with 40 other organizations and individuals, and it's just a day of celebration. It's the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, and it's just a time to reflect and to celebrate where we are. Men are invited, but it's really to celebrate the accomplishments of women. And so we have everything from female vintners to we have a tap group that's made up of seniors, chefs, entrepreneurs, authors, artists, and so we have part of the round table group coming to do a mini round table. Sorry. And it's going to be a...
What are you sorry for? I'm in touch with my feminine side.
Yes.
I'm good with that.
He's had pink headphones for a while.
I still have them. I could pull them out at any time.
That's right.
And so in addition to all these tabling opportunities, we have 10 breakout sessions. And so it's all over the place. We have a female soccer player from the Siena team. And it's fun. We have somebody who deals with HR, and she's dealing, and she'll be talking about equality or inequality in the workplace for women. And so it would be a great time to come, 12 to 3. It's going to be at the Beltone Living Center, which is 6 Winter Circle in Colony. And it's just an opportunity to celebrate.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. And the Beltrone Living Center is where I had the good meal, so yeah.
There you go.
It's all about the food with her. It's always all about the food.
Well, you know that we have a restaurant there, and it's Mazones who runs that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So
hats off to Mazones. Yeah,
yeah, we've done presentations there before.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're right. The food is very good.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And we certainly have clients who live there.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We have several clients. Harry's mother-in-law lives there.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, she does. And he says that she, you know, is always with her people.
They do. They have peeps.
You know, she has
a crowd, right?
She has a crowd, yes. Mm-hmm. They all sit around and talk about things, which I think is great, because the socialization thing is what's really, really needed for our seniors.
Mm-hmm. It is, and that's a big push for our organization. One out of every 5 suicides in this area is the senior, which a lot of people don't realize. And it just came out that the third most debilitating disease in the world is depression. And so when you isolate people and they have a lack of human contact, you know, the physiological problems start arising. And it might be from a psychological standpoint. So we are always trying to engage people and making sure that they feel they have a purpose. And so the Beltran Living Center, we have 250 apartments, so we have over 300 residents there. So we try to keep them as busy as they want to be. So, and I want to give a shout out to Harry Miller if I can.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So
even though he's not here, we'll let you do a shout out.
I think the world of Harry Miller, and the reason being is back in the 1980s, he actually created a trust for my mom.
Oh wow!
And so, and he was just fabulous to work with. And after she passed away, it was so easy to deal. I come from a very large family, and so a shout out to thank you, Harry Miller.
Well, hopefully Harry's listening, so he'll
yes, I hope
that.
So.
If not, we'll make sure we tell him on Monday that he was the star of the show.
So perhaps we can just talk for a minute about the type of trust we did for your mom. So, I assume it was to help protect her assets.
That's correct.
Yes, that's right. So, an irrevocable trust to protect your assets, if done 5 years in advance, can help protect your assets in case you need to go to a nursing home or to get care at home. And so that's really good to get done in advance. And I'm glad that your mom found a firm to do that.
Worked out well. So what age is the perfect time to do an irrevocable trust?
That's so funny because I met with clients yesterday who were asking me that. And they couldn't. So they were, I believe, 56.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to protect their assets because they had just gone through, the husband's mother had been in a nursing home and they had not come to see us or any other elder law attorney. And they said, oh my gosh, we spent $15,000 a month and we went through all of her money so fast. So now that they know better that you didn't have to do that, you could have done something to save that.
Exactly. And there's really no downside.
Right. So they are interested in doing it. So when they asked me that, I said, I think probably late 50s, early 60s, when people are starting to think about retirement, is when you should start to think about an irrevocable trust. I mean, of course, there's no right answer, but...
Well, a lot of it depends on your health history of your family, too. If you've got a situation where there's Alzheimer's in your family, and the odds are that you may or may not get it, you may want to plan earlier, because we've seen a lot of younger people that end up... Mm-hmm. with Alzheimer's, and they unfortunately end up in a facility.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Our adult day service, our youngest member was 42.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's so amazing.
It is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the adult day service, what do they do?
So they come, we'll pick them up. Mm-hmm. And we have two locations, one in Latham and one in Colony or Albany off of Wolf Road. And we'll go and pick them up, and they can spend the day with us, half a day with us. We'll give them breakfast in the morning, afternoon snack. We do field trips, we go to museums, we work in the aquarium, we read through the Times Junior, the newspaper to make sure they're current. We do crafts, we do musical programming. We bring in a lot of lecturers. We want to keep them engaged. So it's about the socialization, it's about the nutrition. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, so often, you know, we hear from people who maybe they've had mom or dad live or move in with them because they've lost the other parent. And all of a sudden, you know, they're off to work and they're worried because they're propping this person in front of a television, hoping that they come back at, you know, 5 o'clock, that everything's been okay.
Right.
So that's that ease of mind. It is not, what we offer is not a medical model. It's a social model.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have to make sure that they can eat on their own. We don't hand out any medication. We're not toileting people, so on and so forth. But we have a gentleman on our board, Dr. Ken Costello, and he said that studies have shown to introduce somebody to that socialization at least a half an hour today, it can extend somebody almost 4 years before you might have to start looking at the assisted living or the nursing home aspect. You know, even when somebody shows beginning signs of Alzheimer's or dementia, just that wherewithal to make sure that they still feel purposeful and engaged.
And can play bingo.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't do a lot of bingo. I'm sorry. Oh.
Then I can't go.
Oh, okay. Debbie likes bingo.
I'll have to find someplace else that plays bingo.
We have a gazoo band, and we do ukulele.
Okay.
So if someone was interested in having their parent go to this program, who would they call? Can you give out your contact?
Absolutely. And I want to throw out there, we trial people so they can come in maybe up to 3 days, and they can try to see if it fits for them. Some people... makes them uncomfortable, and we understand that wholeheartedly. So it's 518-459-2857. That's our main number.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. Kim will often suggest daycare as part of an overall care plan when we're trying to work with someone to stay at home. And that's really good because you can get out of the house, see other people. Just like you said, if your child is working and they're not home during the day, this is some socialization and activity for them. And it also means less hours of care that you have to provide at home.
Caregiving is the most stressful job in the world. I do. I think whether you're caring for little ones or someone who's older, it's an awful, stressful occurrence depending upon what the situation is.
It is, and any kind of break you can get.
Respite's important. You're absolutely right.
And plus the transportation.
Yes.
Transportation is huge.
Yeah.
It's
huge, yeah. So we do have escorts. So if we have somebody we're bringing over to, we call it Bright Horizons, either of our locations, we'll have an escort on. So they'll go to the door. We don't allow anybody in.
Right.
But we'll go to the door and we'll help them off the porch, get them on there. And then once they get to their location, we escort them in. So it's not, you know, nothing against our transportational services that are available to the general community. But, you know, somebody's not going to walk necessarily to a bus stop and wait and do a transfer and get off and walk to themselves. So just that ease of comfort is huge.
And can you mention where the two locations are?
So the first one is, it's a Watervliet address, but it's actually in Latham. You know how that goes in Albany County. So it's at 143 Troy Schenectady Road. And the other one is at the Beltrone on the first floor, Six Winter Circle and Colony.
Again, back to Beltrone.
Yes, that's right.
I think it's a sign.
I know.
Get on the wait list because we have a wait list.
I was going to say, I know that there's a wait list because I know that Harry's mother was on the wait list quite a while before she could get in there. And they were really excited when she actually got into Beltrone because it's just such a great place.
It's funny because some people want first floor. It's six stories, and some people want the top floor, and some people, our neighbor is the Crossings. So some people want to face the Crossing. Some people want to face Wolf Road. And so some people want balconies. And it's interesting what people request.
That is interesting.
Yeah. So you have a selection there, right? And then right behind it is the park, which is nice.
Right. That's the Crossings. Yeah. And they have their farmers market and summer concerts. And so we do, you know, a lot of our residents go over there. They walk. It's really what a wonderful resource to have behind us.
And you guys used to have a garden out back, right?
We do. So if somebody's interested in gardening, we have the raised garden beds. Mm-hmm. And so we have a garden club. We have pretty much have a club for everything. We got a bocce club. We have Pinochle Bridge. We started a new initiative this past year called the Center at CSSC. The town of Colony doesn't have a senior center. Albany County doesn't have a senior center. So people were coming to us, what can we do for the public? And we've always done public programming. We've actually tripled that now. And so the center is both, it's physical, but it's also conceptual. So we're doing programming in artistic, in physical, in intellectual, and then in travel. So we're trying to get, you know, and we might have 10 or 15 things going on every day. And so the ukulele and the harmonica and, you know, all of those types of things. We do a sacred space tour. We go to different places of worship and we hear about the architecture. And we just did a architectural tour of downtown Albany. We're going out to Seneca Falls and spending the weekend. I mean, so we're, you know, all over the place. And you can do line dancing, ballroom dancing, Tai Chi. And the center is, and we're getting people from all over the region. You do not have to be, since we're an independent nonprofit, it doesn't matter where you live. You just have to be 55. And we do have a membership fee for that, and it's $20 for a year. So for a dollar something a month, you get this catalog, and you can do all these incredible, great things. And you don't have to be a member. We do charge fees to cover our costs, but the fees are minimal. So we'll have a member cost and a not yet member cost. So we're busy. We're doing genealogy, memoir writing. It's great. And we're pulling in professors and instructors, really some top people in this area.
And they all volunteer?
Some we pay, some we volunteer, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like...
I can't wait to turn 55.
I know, I can't either. I've always said retired people have more active lives than I do, you know?
Well, they have more fun, yeah.
They're more fun because sometimes when we're scheduling with our clients... to come in to meet with us, they have a very busy calendar they have to look at.
Exactly. It's like, I got to play. No, I play bridge that day. So,
that's right.
You know, so no. Well, can we do it in the afternoon? Oh, no. Got to pick up the grandkids.
That's right.
That's not going to happen. So, yeah, we definitely have to work our schedule around our client's schedule because they're busier than we are.
Good for them.
I know. Good
Busy's
for them.
Good.
Yeah, that's right. We probably could go over to the Beltrone to meet them.
There you go. We could do that. could sneak into some of the classes. Oh, we have a call. We have Ron from Clarksville. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And you?
Good. What can we help you with?
Well, can I put an active brokerage account into a trust?
Into an irrevocable trust?
Yes.
Yes, you can. And if you put the active brokerage account in there, you would still receive all the interest and dividends. You just can't write yourself a check. Because that trustee would have to be the one that writes any checks on the account. So you could sign what's called a limited power of attorney.
Uh-huh.
So that you can still buy, sell, trade, but you can't write yourself a check.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Do you have a brokerage account?
Yes.
Okay, and how is it titled?
It's a rather large one.
Okay, and how is it titled right now?
Right now it was joint with my wife, who passed away last year.
Okay.
And so now it's just in my name.
Okay.
And I have what they call a family trust.
You have a family trust? Did you do your trust with us?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, you could transfer that into your trust. You would just have to contact your broker, mm-hmm. and your broker would just set up an account in the name of the trust and then just journal those assets over to it. And right. then the trustee would have to sign the signature cards and stuff. And then you would have to make arrangements for the interest and dividends to come out. They could have them go out to an account that you have or whatever you want to do.
Oh, okay.
If you have any questions.
So my broker should know something about this anyway, right?
Right, and if your broker doesn't, you can always give us a call at the office. I have a lot of brokers that will call me and ask me questions, and I give them whatever information that they need.
Good, good. Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Righto, bye.
Bye-bye now.
And before we come to our break, I just want to give Diane one more chance to talk about the Warmth of Winter event coming up, and also to thank you for coming to join us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. This was a lot of fun. So Warmth of Winter is this coming Thursday on the 27th of February from 5:30 to 8:30. It's over at Wolfert's Roost. We have tickets still available, 518-459-2857. And the proceeds of this event go back out, and we help pay seniors' heating bills.
Can they go on your website? Can they
Absolutely.
Buy tickets on your website?
Yes, thank you. www.colonyseniors.org.
So that's a great opportunity. And as Jay Marie says, they have a lot of good food there.
Yes, so thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
and
very much.
We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And hi, I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're going to be here for the next half hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. You can be the first caller this half hour at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll-free, 1-800-WROW-590.
And if you missed the first half hour, we had someone from Colony Senior Services Center on and talking about a lot of the great services they offer to 55 plus in our community. You know, things like adult daycare and housing, but also just lots of interesting programs to keep your mind active.
Right, and the Warmth of Winter, you and Dave are going to go.
That's right, we're going to that, and that's a fundraiser this Thursday, and that's going to be at Wolfert's Roost.
Which is a great place.
Yes, which is a great place.
So we also have seminars this week. We have seminars on wills versus trust. We have one on the 25th at 2 in the afternoon at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave. February 26th at 2 in the afternoon at the Residence Inn in Saratoga Springs. The 27th at 10 a.m. at Staybridge Suites on Wolf Road. Excuse me. And the 27th at 10 a.m. at the Queensbury Hotel. So that's cool. We're going to have two going on at the same time.
I know. Dueling one.
Dueling. Dueling. Dueling seminars. And those are on wills versus trust. So we're going to be going over, do you need a will? Do you need a trust? Do you need a will and a trust? What's the best kind of trust to have? What's the best kind of will to have? How do they work together?
Right. What's a revocable trust versus an irrevocable trust?
Yeah, I had someone ask me the other day, why would someone do a revocable trust?
Yeah, that's a question I got at the seminar also. So sometimes what I've seen is if someone has long-term care insurance,
right?
So they do have a source of payment for a nursing home, then you don't need an irrevocable trust, but you would still want a revocable trust to avoid probate when you die.
Oh, we have a caller. We have Kevin from Albany. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Could you explain to me a little bit about the difference between a life estate deed and a trust?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. So if you wanted to transfer your house out of your name, there's two ways that you could do it. And the one way you can do it is to deed it to your children or your beneficiary, and you keep what's called a life estate in the house. And that means that you have the right to live there for the rest of your life. You have to pay all of the expenses, but that's, you know, that can't be taken away from you. So that's just by doing a deed, okay? Now, doing a trust is where you transfer the title of your house into an irrevocable trust, where you need to have someone named as the trustee. But it's similar to the life estate and the deed because the trust gives you all those rights to live there and you know, protects your right to live there during your lifetime. And then on your death, you get to name, you know, who the house goes to in your trust.
Okay. Well, I have a simple estate. I own my house. I have a savings account. So if something happens to me, as long as my wife is still living here, then she gets to stay here forever.
That's right. If your wife is still living at home and then you need Medicaid or go into a nursing home, that home is still exempt. Where the risk is if she goes into a nursing home or she's not living there anymore, then Medicaid could put a lien against the home. Okay. So that is something that you want to try and protect against by transferring that house out of your name and either using a life estate deed or using a trust.
Is the fact I'm a veteran and I could probably use the VA if I had to make any difference?
Well, the veterans, they do have long-term benefits. They have something called the aid in attendance benefit that you could apply for that would contribute money towards assisted living or care at home. But we usually like to kind of plan for both. You know, sometimes VA benefits work out, sometimes Medicaid benefits work out better.
All right, well, thanks. Thank you very much for your help.
Okay, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Have a great day. It's interesting. Whenever we talk about life estates, I really try to talk people out of it because we have all kinds of horror stories that we can tell you.
That's right.
But one in general that we had was years and years ago, mom and dad transferred the house to the kids and reserved a life estate for themselves. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years later, dad gets ill. Dad ends up going into a nursing home and there's a huge falling out between the kids and mom because they felt that he should have stayed home. He shouldn't have gone to the nursing home, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So fast forward again, dad passes and mom says, I don't want to live in this house anymore. I want to sell the house. I want to move into a senior living and, you know, I want to be able to just not worry about anything. And the kids said, no, you can't sell it.
Right.
You know, we don't want to have to pay capital gains.
Right.
We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. And we're not gonna. You can't sell the house. And so she was like, yeah, you don't understand. I need to sell the house because I can't afford to live here and in senior living. And so they absolutely said no. So she rented out the house, which she can do because the life estate says that she gets all the income, right?
Right.
And she basically said to them, guess what? I rented out the house. I'm moving into senior living. That's going to help me pay for senior living, and I'm not going to pay any of the bills for the house. So guess what? When the tax collector comes, you guys own the house, not me.
That's right.
Yeah. And it shouldn't come to that.
Now, there are a lot of drawbacks to the life estate deed, and that's one of them because you need your children's consent to sell. When you do an irrevocable trust, you do need the trustee's consent to sell, but the difference is you can fire that trustee and replace that trustee.
And you can fire your beneficiaries, too.
That's true. So you can make changes to it afterwards. The life estate deed, you're pretty much stuck with what's on there. So,
and it happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. And as you were mentioning, if she wanted to sell it, a good portion of the money would go to the children.
Yes.
And whereas if the house is in a trust when you sell it, all that money stays in the trust and it's protected and it can't be used, you know, by your kids. So it's protected for your lifetime.
So it makes a lot more sense. And that's really why we try to sit down with people and talk to them and give them all their options. Because sometimes people will say, we've talked to people and my neighbor said they did a life estate deed and everything's great and wonderful. This is what I want to do. And that's why we offer the free consult at the office, because we want to get people in and see what they've got.
Right.
And see
it's,
what
it's
makes
different.
Sense.
You know, I would say I use them pretty rarely. Maybe once in a while it's applicable. But, you know, one of the first things I'll ask is, are you planning on selling the house?
Right.
You know, are you going to live here or do you think you're going to downsize? And if you're thinking about selling it and downsizing, then the trust is much better.
Definitely. And kind of back to the revocable trust, Jean Marie, you were saying that if you have long-term care insurance, maybe you want to do a revocable trust. Sometimes I have people that say, you know, I'm not worried about nursing home, I'm not worried about anything else, but I'm worried about probate in more than one state, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
if I own property in New York and I own property in Florida, which a lot of our clients do.
That's right.
And they pass away, they're going to have to probate the will in New York, and then they're going to have to probate the will in Florida. So what would be the benefit of a revocable trust on that situation?
So if you have two houses and you retitle both houses into the trust, then you're going to avoid probate in both states because the trust avoids probate. So when you pass and it goes down to your beneficiaries, they just need to title the house out of the trust to themselves.
Or they call the real estate agent and say, put it on the market.
Or put it on the market and sell it, right? But without any court involvement. So you're not waiting for a court to appoint an executor. You can just do that on your own. So that saves time and that saves money. And it can sometimes save conflicts or contests.
Yes. And so what's the average lag time as far as getting somebody appointed as executors? I mean, because you've still got all those bills. So let's just say I have a house in New York and I have a house in Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't do a trust. And so they have to probate my will in New York and then they have to probate it in Florida. What's my lag time as far as where's the money going to come from to pay for my expenses?
That's a problem. It can be months. And if there are no bank accounts that were, you know, joint with their children or joint with your beneficiaries, then you can't get to any of the bank accounts until you've probated the will. So it could be weeks or months going by where you can't pay the taxes or the insurance or the utilities. Some children pay it out of their own pocket, you know,
right.
And then they're waiting to get reimbursed. But that can be a problem. And especially in the wintertime, we've seen that. If someone passes away and the house is empty, you really have to worry about the heat and the pipes
freezing.
The water. So you need funds to keep up the house. And with the trust, though, you would have immediate access to the funds.
Right. You'd be the trustee. You just start writing checks for whatever needs to be paid. And it just makes a lot of sense as far as that goes. It just makes everything easier. And that's how We have a lot of clients that are children of clients that have passed away, and they walk in and they're going, whatever that was you did for mom and
that's
dad,
right.
I'll have one of those.
That's right. Yeah, once you've been through it and you've seen how it works so easily, they come right back in and they do it themselves.
I have I have one situation where they came in, mom passed away, and they came in to talk about community Medicaid for dad. And while they were there, we started talking about things. There were three sons, and they were like, so do you think we need estate planning documents? And I'm like, yeah.
That's right.
So I've met with two of the three. The other one was out of state. So two of the three have come in to do their own estate planning documents because they're like, we really need to think about these things. They actually were younger, had small kids.
Okay, but they still wanted to think about it.
Yeah. Well, you got to make sure, you know, that you've taken care of the kids. You don't want a 10-year-old getting a bunch of money, because 10-year-olds generally aren't very good with money.
Or 18 and 20-year-olds.
Yeah, we know all about that.
That's but. Right, we do. Or even your son, how old?
He's 28. He'll be 29 this year. And he's good. He's good, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got a good job. He, mm-hmm. you know, but if he inherited $200,000 or $300,000. I mean, I'm sure he would be very frugal with it, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to put him in that kind of position.
That's right. To test him. It can be very hard to have that much money.
Yeah, it could be. Mm-hmm. It could be very difficult. It'd be an awful problem to have, but
yes,
you know.
That's true. Yeah, so there's many reasons to get your estate planning done even when you're younger. You have kids.
Zach has his estate planning done. Oh, we have a caller. We have Russell from Kingston. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, Jane Marie.
Good morning.
I'd like to step back a minute and question the issue about the life estate and that horror story you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
Is there any way that you could structure a life estate deed to prevent such a scenario?
No, not really.
There's no way, no restrictions that you could include in the deed? If say you want to go with a life estate deed?
Well, no, because you've given the life estate deed, you've already named who it goes to.
Unless you didn't do it that way, did a power of appointment, right?
Yeah, you could, but that's for, you could change who it goes to after you die.
Right.
Right.
So it's still not going
to. Yeah, so it's very hard to change who the other people are on the deed with you, right? Unless they agree to.
Okay.
So you need their consent.
So I guess the bottom line is you really just cannot plan for every case.
That's true.
No, you can't.
That's true. Something can always come out of the blue that, you know, messes up your plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking my question today. Thank you.
No problem.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, have a nice weekend.
You too. Yep. You know, I have seen life estates that worked.
Right.
But generally, I'd say more than not that they don't. Something happens. So the person goes into the nursing home. And mm-hmm. the people sell the house, right? So think about it. You mm-hmm. deed the house to your two kids. You mm-hmm. reserve a life estate. You go into the nursing home. Again, there's no money to pay the bills, right? Because mm-hmm. you're in the nursing home. Supposedly,
right.
you're on Medicaid. So the kids are like, what are we going to do with this house?
Right.
So they decide to sell the house. Well, guess what happens? The kids get the majority of the money mm-hmm. that's subject to capital gains.
That's right.
Because they get the basis that their parents had. Mm-hmm. whenever they bought it, plus any improvements. And then there's this chunk of money that mm-hmm. the person gets for their life estate.
Right.
So there's a piece of that money that's going to go to that person. And if they're on Medicaid, that money could kick them off Medicaid.
That's right.
So it's kind of a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, it doesn't often work out that way. Yeah, so just to talk about that a little bit. So when you sell the house, right?
Right.
You're going to look at how old you are, and there's a life expectancy table.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to see how much goes to you, you know, and the older you are, the less it is.
The less your life is worth.
That's right. But there's still a percentage that goes to you. But the bigger percentage goes to your children. So now they get this chunk of money, and then, well, like two things happen. So number one, they have to pay capital gains tax on that.
Right.
Because when you sell it, if it's your principal residence, you have an exclusion of up to $250,000 for selling your own principal residence.
If you're a single person, if you're married,
right.
it's $500.
$500, right. But as the kids who are selling it, unless they're living there with you, it's not their principal residence.
Right.
So that's just treated as an ordinary sale for them, and they have to report a capital gain. And the capital gain is the difference between what you receive, right, and like you said, you're getting the basis of mom or dad. And I've seen so many situations where mom and dad bought the house for $15,000.
Right, or built it.
Right, or built it. You know, so the capital gain can be huge. These houses are now worth $200, $250 and up from there. So you're losing a lot of money at paying capital gains tax.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's something to think about. And again, there's a situation where these things work, and there's situations mostly that they don't work. So that's kind of, we always talk about trusts and trusts and trusts, and people are like, well, I really don't want to trust. And fine, then let's see what we can do to structure your estate. But you need to understand what the ramifications are. And sometimes I feel guilty when I meet with people and I'm like, well, what if one of your kids passes away before you? Well, they're not going
to
do that.
I know. That's right. We have to walk you through all the worst case scenarios.
Right. So, well, do you want it to go to your grandkids? Well, I don't have any grandkids yet. I had one client who he would talk about his grandkids as a player to be named later.
Because, oh, that's funny.
Because he, his kids weren't even married. That's he was right. doing estate planning, and I ran into him about 10 years later, and he's like, guess what? I have a player now.
So, that's right. That's funny.
So, you know, it's, we try to plan for these things. We try to make your documents as bulletproof as possible.
And we find the trust really gives you the most flexibility.
It does. And we have Barb from Albany. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning, everyone. I am happy to say that the life estate worked well for my mom. She put the house in my brother's name and my name, and then she had to go into assisted living. Mm-hmm. And we took the proceeds of the house and put them into a savings account for my mom because in assisted living, we needed to have money to supplement her expenses.
Right.
And we didn't know what to do with the money. Now, my brother has passed, and I'm the sole owner of the account. How can I protect that money in the event that if I pass, my mom is still taken care of with that money?
So what you would want to do is if something happens to you, you want to make sure that money is still benefiting your mom, right? So the best way to do that is in your will is to leave that money to your mom in a trust. Okay, and it's a special type of trust. It could be, it's called a supplemental needs trust, because while she's in assisted living, she can use the money to pay for assisted living, but then if she goes into a nursing home, that money wouldn't have to be spent on the nursing home because Medicaid could pay for the nursing home.
Okay, well, right now she's not Medicaid eligible, so would that affect... if I set up the, you said a special needs trust?
That's right. And you could set that up in your will for her.
Right. Okay. It wouldn't exist until you passed away.
Okay.
So basically it's called a testamentary trust.
Uh-huh.
So what you're doing is right now you've got the account in your name, you're paying for expenses and everything like that. If you passed away, then that money would go into a trust. So the lever would be, when I pass away, this money needs to go to a trust for my mother. If my mother predeceases me, then it goes wherever you want, your kids, your family, or whatever. But that way, if mom's still alive, that money goes into a trust. The trust could continue to pay for her assisted living. And then if she went into a nursing home, then that money wouldn't have to go to pay for a nursing home. Right?
Oh, okay. That's great to know. Now, with setting up the trust, I would have to name trustees.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
So, I don't know who to name as a trustee for her.
Well, do you have kids? Or?
I have a daughter and a sister-in-law, but can they work? Can I name co-trustees that
you
they
can.
Have to make a joint decision?
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. You've taken a tremendous burden off my shoulders.
We're glad we could help. That's what we're here for.
Great.
All right. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And we're going to... couple more minutes for another caller. The phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. It's always good when people call with positive things.
I know. That's a great situation. That did work out for her. You know, you're relying on your children when you sell the house in that situation to keep the money and use it for you, which this lady did. And I'm sure many, many people would do. But we always see the ones that don't work out.
Yeah, we see the ones that the
right.
time comes for the person to go into the nursing home and it's like, what happened to the money? Oh, well, I gave it to the kids and the kids told me they're going to give it back to me if I ever go into a nursing home.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that always works. Not.
Sometimes the kids have spent it on their house or spent it on their college kids. For their kids.
College for their kids, exactly.
Or maybe they've renovated their kitchen or their bathroom. So sometimes that money just really isn't there to give back. So, and again, and not to oversay this, but the trust does offer some protections for that. And so we're always trying to think of the thing that best protects you, you know, so a simple deed with the life estate may work for you.
Right.
But we have to let you know about the
downside.
The downsides of it. That's right.
Yeah, sometimes I just feel bad sometimes because I'm just like, you know, they come in and they're all this and that. And I've just like brought them totally down about thinking. They're like, do you lay awake night thinking about these things that could happen? It's like, No, but that's, you know, we're trained to think of all these things. So we've been doing it for a long time.
That's right.
And, you know, we've got years and years of experience, and we've seen all the bad things.
We've basically seen that, right.
And we have Kevin from Albany. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. I called a few minutes ago, and I appreciate your answers. Could you tell me the difference in cost basis for doing the trust as compared to the living will?
As opposed to doing a living will?
Not a living will.
The life estate deed?
I'm sorry, yeah.
The trust versus the life estate deed?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we generally don't quote fees over the radio. You'd probably want to make an appointment to come in. But, I mean, obviously a life estate deed is going to be less expensive because all you're really doing is preparing a deed and then filing it. As opposed to, you know, creating a trust, which is going to hold the deed for you, you know, okay. And you still have filing fees.
And I didn't know if there was a huge difference or much of a difference.
I would say call our office on Monday and you can talk to one of us and we can do that for, you know, for many different reasons. We don't want to give out prices over the radio.
Thank you very much for your help.
Okay, you're welcome. Sure, thank you.
You know, it's a great question. And
no,
that's
it is
the thing
a good
too.
Question. And when we meet with you, we will give you the costs and then you can see the differences and make your educated choice.
Right? Right, because it might work for him. There might not be a huge capital gain. I've had people that have bought new houses and I'll say, well, what's your basis in your house? And they'll say $200,000 and I'll look at the value of their house and I'm like, $200,000 and I'm like, so did you just buy the house?
Right.
And they're like, yeah. So I mean, if you're transferring a house that you just bought, that unless they find like oil in the backyard, you know, is not going to increase in value that much, then it may not be a huge deal,
right?
To transfer to your kids
may not be an issue. That's right.
Yeah, the capital gains are pretty big. I mean, I don't want to have to pay any more taxes than I absolutely have to.
That's right. No, not at all.
No, not at all. Especially this time of year. But those are all the things that you have to think about when you're doing a trust. And again, that's what our seminars are on next week. So if we've made you think about all these things,
That's right. You
can come to our seminars again. They are Wills versus Trusts, February 25th at 2 in the afternoon at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave in Albany. February 26th at 2 in the afternoon at Residence Inn on Excelsior Ave in Saratoga Springs. 27th at 10 in the morning at Staybridge Suites on Wolf Road. And the 27th at 10 a.m. at Queensbury Hotel, 88 Ridge Street in Glens Falls. We'd love to see you guys come to those. We don't serve food.
No, but we have good cookies.
Sometimes brownies and coffee and stuff like that. But
sugar and caffeine to keep you going.
That's it. Sugar and caffeine. Not that we're boring, but you know.
No, but everyone loves sugar and caffeine, right?
Well, the sugar and caffeine's for us too, right?
That's right.
so that we can zoom through these things. But it usually takes about an hour. We allow time for questions. And it's just a great opportunity to come out and get information as opposed to what I call water cooler talk. Because I've had a lot of people that come in and like, well, my cousin has this and my aunt
right.
did that. And they said this and they said that. And I always say, well, did you ask them when they got their law degree? And they're like, I'm going to ask them that next time. So,
or the other thing I find, I said it reminds me of playing the game telephone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you tell, I tell Ben a word and then he has to tell you, but by the time it gets to you, it's the wrong word.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I can't handle the parts between just the two of us and then send it to someone else. So that makes sense.
All right. We would need many more people between you and telephone to work. There's only three of us here right now.
So. We could probably do it here.
I was going to say, I could probably handle that.
You think you can remember?
Yeah, yes. A couple other people I'd probably be out, but at least one person, I think I'm good.
That's why I try to take notes. I always have little notes everywhere.
So sometimes when people come in and they're saying, oh, so-and-so did a trust, and it's completely the wrong thing than what someone told them in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, it's they think they did a revocable trust, but it isn't a revocable trust, or they think the look-back period is 7 years.
Yeah.
We hear 7 years a lot. It's not 7 years. It's five. Years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So people just get these things mixed up.
Yeah. It happens because they don't do this every day. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people will ask us questions and we'll just look at them and go, You know, that's an excellent question. Let me check into that. And we've actually had things that we've researched, because not everyone's situation is the same. There's really no cookie-cutter estate plan.
Yeah, that's what makes it interesting for
us. You have to sit and look at all the planning that has to be done and make sure that every box is checked and everything is in the right place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking forward, you have to really think about what you really want to do and what your end goal is, because if you don't, you may mess up your estate plan.
That's right. And you just have to sit down and think about it for a little bit.
We have Barbara from Boston Spa. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I'm a client, but I was interested. I think I heard that you have an office in Clifton Park.
We do. We just opened it at the 1st of February.
Now, is it served by different lawyers or?
Oh, no. We all make the rounds.
Oh, you do?
So, no, if you want to meet with any of us, we're all out in Clifton Park. You just have to call Stacy, and Stacy can put you on the calendar out there.
Okay. And it's more of a review of what I have done.
That's not a problem.
Right.
And it's real easy to get to. We're right off of 146, right behind where St. Peter's Rehab is, CVS, all those right there on 146.
Oh, so it's on, like, Maxwell Road?
Yeah, exactly. It's you turn onto Maxwell, and then you turn, and it's right behind St. Peter's Rehab, and we're up on the second floor.
Okay. Well, I don't know St. Peter's Rehab, but...
Well, that's good that you don't.
That's good that you don't know it, but the address
is... I know what you're saying.
Yeah, the address is 855 Route 146, Suite 220. So if you call Stacy, she'll either email or mail out directions to you or give you, like, step-by-step directions. Because, I mean, it's very easy to find once you've been there once, but when somebody said to me, it's behind CVS, I went... There's a lot of places behind CVS over
there.
That's
right.
Also, when it says 146.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a long road.
That is. Okay. Have a great weekend. We'll see you at Clifton Park then.
And thank you for spending time with us.
Okay.
We'll be with you again next Saturday.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.